I'm Esperanza Phoenix, and you're listening to Unpacking Life's Crazy. In this podcast, I share a lifetime of unusual experiences, unfortunate events, and frank conversations with others like myself who use humor to cope with the physical disabilities, mental health conditions, and unique life circumstances which set us apart from societal norms. In this podcast, we discuss controversial and adult topics, from sleep hygiene, fasting, and stories of raising kids in Costa Rica to interviews with disabled comedians or transgender youth. Life can be a crazy journey. Let's unpack it together. Welcome to episode 22 of Unpacking Life's Crazy. If you're joining us again, then you know we've been at this a while. It's been almost a year, and it is Pride Month again. Our very first episode was a Mom's Pride episode, an interview with my daughter Kira, who happens to be transgender. If it's your first time, welcome. And this is a special episode for parents of transgender youth. So if you suspect your child is transgender or your child has come out to you and you're looking for a little advice, or maybe you're kind of freaking out, don't panic. Just listen. I have some things to share with you as a parent of a transgender young woman. But before I get on with that, I've got some housekeeping. So please like the video, subscribe to the channel, and if you find this information useful, please share it with those who may be helped by some of the things that I have to say. I appreciate it. Also, subscribe to the podcast if you're listening to the podcast, and leave comments. If you have comments or questions, I can address those in the future. Absolutely. And if you would like to support my channel, as I've mentioned in many of my other episodes, I am a disabled artist. So my income comes from selling my artwork. So esperanzapaints.com. You can also find my artwork on Redbubble under Esperanza Phoenix and through the art site Pictorum. And you can get large canvases of my work or printed on metal or whatever you want to do. All of those sales help to support me and what I do. And lastly, you can go and buy me a cup of coffee at ESP Phoenix. And you can access all of my stuff through esperanzaphoenix.com. So there's that bit. And then for my regular listeners, I had a podcast a few episodes back about insomnia and my lifelong battle with it. So since that time, I wanted to let you know that I have added a new supplement, which is called glycine. Is an amino acid that comes in a powdered form. It's really not very expensive. You can order it in bulk, and it has a slightly sweet flavor. It doesn't take very much. So I've been adding about a half a teaspoon glycine powder to my evening tea. I do a sleepy time tea to help me get relaxed, and I've been adding that, and it seems to have really improved my sleep when mixed with all of the other supplements I'm taking. If you want to look those up, you can go to the website, esperanzaphoenix.com, look in the blog, and you'll find a blog for that specific episode. It lists all of the supplements I take, as well as the sleep hygiene, you know, all kinds of things, blue blockers, different things that I use to try to get to sleep. But I think that the glycine has really improved it. I'm really excited because this last month we had a super moon combined with an eclipse, and I actually managed to sleep 8 hours that night, which is like never happened. So I think that the supplement is really helping. So I want to let you guys know about it, and I want you to go online, do your research. Always, any supplement I suggest, do your own research, see if it's going to work for you, but it's working for me, and I'm really excited, so I want to share that with my fellow insomniacs. So, on with the episode. As I mentioned, my very first episode was an interview with Kira, and in that episode, we discuss the beginning of her transition process, how she came out to me, and and kind of how I reacted, all of that kind of thing. So if you want to go back to episode one and listen to that portion of it, that would be the best way to get all that information. I'll retouch on some of it that matters for the purpose of this discussion. But I'd like for you to hear in her own words what Kira has to say about that experience, and also to let you know to look forward to an anniversary episode, because a lot's gone on in this last year for so many reasons. But Kira has agreed to interview for an anniversary episode and for this Pride Month, and she's going to let us know how she's doing, and she's doing amazing, by the way. I'm very proud of her. But I'll let her tell you a little more from her perspective. There have been some difficult disappointments over the last year with her progress of her transition as well, that we will discuss further in that episode. But this episode is primarily for parents who have recently discovered that their child is transgender, or maybe they suspect it, and they're having some difficulty dealing with this information and processing it and figuring out what it's all about. So as a mom who happens to have a transgender child, I wanted to share some perspective with you. And I know that my perspective is a little bit different, and I think my child is fortunate that was the case. I've mentioned in several other episodes that I grew up traveling the powwow circuit with my Native American father. So I come from a different culture than a lot of people. I grew up being surrounded in that culture. And one of the more unique things is that Native Americans have always had a very accepting view of the LGBTQ community. Now, I'm not saying that there may be some tribes that have issue with it. I'm not sure. But on a whole, they tend to be accepted, and they're actually revered. Transgender people, gay, lesbian, had a place in the society, and there was a feeling that they actually had more connection to the spirit. They were two-spirit people. They had more connection because they had a better perspective of both the masculine and the feminine qualities of humanity. Additionally, I have found that the transgender people I know and am connected with tend to be very empathetic, understanding, and in order to come to the conclusion that one is transgender requires a lot of, I think that quality is also part of why in the Native American culture they were looked up to, their opinions respected. It's a shame. And I feel this about so many things about the Native culture. It's a shame that a lot of our cultural experiences weren't carried on into our current society, because it would have alleviated a lot of problems. For example, the desire to live in peace with our environment and respect all living things in the planet, and pretty much acceptance of other human beings. So all of those things, I think, are a very healthy belief system. And it doesn't really have a whole lot of the religious dogma that comes in a lot of structured religions. So I wouldn't say that I was raised in a faith per se, but it's more of a belief system. So having come from a belief system and being raised around a culture that didn't have a lot of judgments about the LGBTQ community was very helpful. And I've always had friends that fall into that category. I was in live theater when I was younger, so I was exposed, especially in live theater, is very accepting of the people who might otherwise in other parts of our society be considered misfits. And certainly LGBTQ people are among them. So just to recap, because you can go back and listen to that episode if you want, and you can't view it. Sorry, that was before I started videoing, but you can listen to the podcast. Right about the time that my daughter turned 21, she came out to me as transgender. And as I said, because of my culture, that part of it was not necessarily traumatic or difficult to simply say, okay, all right, what's next? What happens next? But also for me, it was in a way a relief because my child had gone through very severe depression. And as this podcast is called Unpacking Life's Crazy, I personally went through a lot of childhood trauma, depression, anxiety, later diagnosed with complex post-traumatic stress disorder, and being suicidal through large portions of my life. So learning that my teenager had not escaped the depression was really hard. When she was 14, she started getting depressed. And I didn't recognize it right away because this time she was my son. Because my son, I thought, was maybe pulling away from his mother. And it became apparent over time that it was much more severe than that. And he was cutting and eventually revealed, you know, just how bad it was. I tried to get him help. But living in a small town, we had a limited number of therapists, and it was going to be months before they could get him in and get him medicated, and then had basically a mental break and wound up in the John Muir Center in Concord, getting examined and evaluated and stuff for a week. And it was excruciating. It was excruciating for me. I think if you're a good parent, the hardest thing is when your child is hurting, and there's really not much you can do to fix it. So we went through all that, got therapy, there was medication, but my son was very unhappy still. So fast forward, shortly before he turned 21, he revealed that most of the therapy that he was attending had to do with being transgender and that he'd been misgendered. And I didn't have a son. I had a daughter. And as I said, because of my culture, I took that fairly well. But even so, and even knowing how I felt about other transgender people and knowing that I have, you know, many friends in the LGBTQ community and all of that, she was still terrified to tell me, and she talks about it in that episode. If you want to go and listen to that, she was still really, really scared. And if you're suspecting that your child is transgender, or even if they've already told you, know how terrifying that is for them. Because as my daughter explained to me, it's not a conclusion that is reached lightly. And imagine how difficult it is to be struggling with feeling that you're not in the right body. There's something called gender dysphoria, and I suggest you look it up and do some research on it. But basically, it feels all wrong to them. That's the easiest way to explain it. So imagine if you're a woman. Imagine you wake up and suddenly you got junk down there. Suddenly you're in a dude's body, okay? How ew would you feel? I know I would be pretty grossed out. I'm sorry, but it's true. Dudes, I'm sure you're perfectly happy unless you're transgender, you're perfectly happy with your junk, and that's okay with you. But if you feel comfortable in your body, the gender that you are, imagine for a moment how you would feel if you were a guy and you woke up and there was nothing down there. You had a vagina and now you have to go to work looking like that. How do you feel? That, if you can imagine, is how transgender people feel. They feel as though they're in a foreign body. And quite frankly, they can feel very disgusted with themselves because it doesn't seem right to them. It doesn't feel right to them. And every day is like that. Every moment is like that. So it's, you feel shameful. Obviously, there's depression and anxiety. And then there's the fear of, well, this is what I feel like, but is that right? Is it okay? And if I make this choice to transition into the body that I feel comfortable with, that I feel that I belong in, will the people who love me still love me? Will they still accept me? So there's so many fears, and then if you add on to that societal shame, it's not something. Anyone who says that being LGBTQ is a choice is just wrong. That everything proves them wrong. Why? Why would somebody make a choice that could ostracize them from their community? Why would they make that choice? Imagine if you are heterosexual. Somebody says, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you were gay? Come on, make that choice. It'll be fun. Does it seem kind of appalling to you to consider that if you are heterosexual? Same difference. If a person is gay and is attracted to somebody of the same sex as them, they find it equally appalling to be forced to push that aside and pretend to be something they're not. And it's just a different level for people who are transgender and feel they were born into the wrong body. For people who come from religious backgrounds, and in the United States, that's primarily Christian, some of you have been led to believe that being LGBTQ is against Christianity or somehow against your God. And for those of you who have been led to believe that, I'd like you to explore some things. That's a dogma. That's a manufactured stance. Whether or not you have a relationship with your God or you believe in Jesus Christ and all of that is completely separate from this church teaching that, that there is something somehow shameful or sinful about being a member of the LGBTQ community. Because if you actually study your scripture, Jesus has never said anything negative about that community. Jesus has never said anything was wrong with being gay. He's never said anything negative about transgender people. In fact, as far as I know, Jesus has never said anything hateful about any people. And according to the teachings, he spent most of his time with the rejects of society, with the poor and the lepers and the prostitutes. And he taught to love and accept everyone. So nothing in those teachings in any way says that there is anything wrong with being LGBTQ. So if you have come to believe that God hates gays, I would suggest that you re-examine your church and accept the fact that your faith and your church are two separate things. They're very different things. I hear some friends who are Christians say, it's not a Christian value to hate. Christians don't hate. Well, sadly, that is not true. There are a great many church doctrines that are very much based in hate, and the Christian religion has been responsible for many horrific acts. Salem witch trials, let's put it, inquisitions, ethnic cleansings, so many things. That is based on church and ministers and teachings of that kind. It is not necessarily based on your holy book. It is not necessarily based in your faith. It is based on the manipulations that can be used by sects of churches. And the most graphic example, I think, is the Westboro Baptist Church. And you may have heard that they do horrible things like pick at the funerals of dead people because they were gay. They're really awful, things like that. Another famous Christian organization is the KKK. We're very familiar with them, and they're basically all about hate, and they consider their racism a Christian value. Now, they have got to be some of the craziest amongst the Christian sects, because Jesus was a Black Middle Eastern man. He did not speak English. He never set foot in this country. Look at a picture of what historical actual Jesus would have looked like. And basically, a KKK person would have lynched Jesus. So they're not, there's a lot of twistedness between religion and actual faith and actual teaching. So if your conflict with your child being transgender is religious based, I would suggest that you actually go read the Bible. Scour the Bible. Scour the religious teachings and see if you can find in there one word of negativity or hate against the LGBTQ community, which was attributed to Jesus. And once you've done that, realize that it is possible for you to separate your beliefs and your faith from that church who is teaching you to hate your own child. Okay. Another weird thing that can happen when a parent finds out they have a transgender child is a weird sense of failure, shame, feeling like they somehow caused their child to be transgender, somehow their fault. It's not. It really has nothing to do with you. It doesn't have anything to do with you. And there is no sense of shame in your child being who they are. They just, that's who they are. And one of the best things you can do is do some research into chromosomes, for example, to better understand what being transgender is, because it isn't just, oh, I want to dress like a girl. Like I said, there's dysphoria there. There's a real, there is a deep down genetic component too. And the people who tell you, oh, genetically, there's just male and female. That isn't true. That isn't true. The science does not prove that. And, they say, well, there's X chromosomes and Y chromosomes. Well, there's a lot of variation there too. Sometimes the Y has a longer tail. Sometimes the X has a short side. There are a whole bunch of, it's not cut and dry that way. So, it's good to try to understand the science of it as when a parent has that feeling that, oh, they failed their child or whatever by them being transgender, you haven't failed your child. However, if you turn your back on your child, that's when you become a failure as a parent. That turning away from your child because they're transgender, that would make you a failure. So what do? You approach it as you would any other problem or big issue that your child has. Try to listen, try to be understanding, and try to help them through it. And most of all, make sure that they know that they're still loved. Make sure that they know that they are still loved. And you may have this feeling of, oh, well, you know, it's just a phase. It's just a phase. They're going through a phase. You know, this too will pass. It should be fine. Maybe it happens. Sometimes it happens that people explore their sexuality and discover that maybe they weren't transgender. It happens sometimes. And that's okay. But they need to make that discovery on their own. They need to figure that all out on their own. Because if it's come to the point of them telling you or making it obvious, then chances are it's not just a passing thought. It invalidates them to tell them, oh, it'll pass, or stop being like that, or this is because of your friends, or it's influence of social media, or whatever it is, your reasoning, your excuses, your desperation to make it not real. You're invalidating your child's experience, and you might be able to force your kid back into the closet, or your adult child who has now told you. Perhaps you can shame them into pretending that they're not transgender. That's a possibility. Your child will continue to be unhappy. And then there's the higher risk, and the risks are very high. When my daughter finally told me that she was transgender, I felt a sense of relief because it was a piece of the puzzle, and it meant that maybe she had a route to happiness, that this could be the missing piece that allowed her to be comfortable here on this planet. Because if you reject your child because they're transgender, you are making a choice, which could very well be, I would rather have a dead child than a girl or a boy, because that's how high stakes we're talking about. Transgender youth are at high risk for suicide. And I don't know about you, but as a mom, I put a whole lot of work into raising my children. And when I first started trying to have kids, when my husband and I chose to have kids, and I became pregnant with my first child, I wasn't necessarily hoping for a boy or a girl. A boy or a girl would be nice. But I wanted a healthy baby. Whether that baby was a boy or a girl wasn't the point. And yeah, we thought, well, a boy and a girl would be nice because everybody thinks we'll have one of each flavor. It's a different experience. Or maybe you have this vision of having a mini you, a child that, you know, kind of raised in your own footsteps or your own image or something like that. But by the time I became pregnant with my second child, I had already adjusted to parenting a little girl, and I thought, maybe I'll have a boy, maybe I'll have a girl. Either way, it's fine. We kind of know what we're doing with the girl already, so that's fine. It did so happen that I had a boy, I thought. But imagine back if you are now dealing with finding out that your child is transgender. If your child is transgender, imagine for a moment you are back at the beginning and you have an option. You get to have a child or not. Whether that child is a boy or a girl is not up to you, right? That's where you're at. And if you reject that child, all of that parenting, all of those sleepless nights and the breastfeeding and the worry and the being covered in vomit at times and all of those beautiful experiences that you had with your child, you're just throwing them away. You're just throwing them away. And you have a choice. Are you willing to accept that, hey, now you have a daughter instead of a son, or now you have a son instead of a daughter, or would you rather not have a child at all? Because I know very much for me, that was my choice. I don't think that my second child would be alive right now if I had turned her away and not accepted who she is. And frankly, I'm delighted to have two daughters because I could have buried a son. I could have mourned the loss of my second child and had to support his sister through that loss. But I didn't have to do that. I did, however, have to, in a way, grieve the loss of my son. And that is part of the process. That's part of accepting your child. For me, I think it was easier than it can be for some people. Some people have a great many expectations of their children. They have these visions of, oh yeah, they're going to graduate high school and they're going to go to the college that I went to. And then I want them to be a lawyer, or I want them to be a doctor, or whatever, whatever it is. You have this vision of what your child will grow into. Maybe you have this vision of a big wedding and lots of grandkids or whatever. You have projected this future onto your child. I've never been that kind of a person. I've never had those kind of expectations on my children. I've always wanted them to be happy and do their very best and find the things that they're good at. And then I've tried to support them in their dreams. That's just how I am. So I imagine if you're one of those people who has projected what your child's future is supposed to look like, dealing with the knowledge that they're transgender is going to add an additional level of grief, and you're going to need to process that. But be aware that that's on you. That's not on them. You gave birth to a human being, and they're going to have their own individuality, and what makes them happy is going to be different than what makes you happy, and who they are isn't dictated by your vision of who they are. So the sooner you let go as a parent, and this goes with all regards, whether it be transgender or anything else, the sooner you let go of the picture in your head you have of what your child should be, the happier your relationship with your child will become, because you'll start listening to what it is they need and start listening to their heart and what works for them. It's not easy. It's not easy. Hopefully you've already had to deal with that with other things like their taste in music or the TV shows they watch or whatever, because everybody's an individual. But if you are one of those people that tends to project into the future, that part of it is going to be more difficult for you to process. So even if you are holding on to that thought that, oh, maybe this is just a phase, okay, let your child be the one who decides that. And until they decide that, support them in who they are today. You know, even if kids do sometimes go through phases. Child is into one kind of sport and then they're not. They like a certain art project and then they don't. They have a best friend and then they're on the outs. That can happen. This is a little bit bigger deal than that, yes. But let them figure that out on their own. Until that time comes, if they want to be called a they, because they haven't decided or they feel like they're somewhere in between, then by all means, how hard is it to respect your child's feelings and use the pronoun that they ask? Just do it. Just love them. You know, don't feel hurt. This isn't about them rejecting you. It really has nothing to do with you. This is all about your child trying to be happy in their own body, in their own self, so that they can feel comfortable in the way that they navigate this world. It's a difficult world, yes. But imagine you're trying to navigate it in this shell that doesn't feel like it belongs to you. It's a lonely place. And yes, this world, this society, can be particularly judgmental of those in the LGBTQ community, especially in certain parts of this country. I'm fortunate to live in California in the Bay Area, and it tends to be a lot more inclusive. But yes, the hate happens here too. And as a parent, I would say my fear of other people discriminating against my child, verbally abusing my child, or heaven forbid, physically harming my child have been the hardest part of this to process. Because we want to protect our kids. We want them to be safe. You know, maybe when they're little, we might, don't wear that to school because the kids will make fun of you or whatever. It's easier. It's easier in life if you blend in, if you fit in. But some of us weren't born to blend in. We weren't born to fit in. That's not our lot in life. And shoving your child in the closet isn't going to protect them. It's going to hurt them in the long run because you're shunning them and locking that part of them away in order to protect them. You're now abusing them because what they need more than anything is to be loved and accepted. And you're saying they can't be who they feel they are is the ultimate rejection. Because so much worse than a stranger on the street making a comment about their makeup or their dress or whatever. A stranger criticizing you or being abusive is nothing compared to your own parent making it very clear that who you are is not acceptable. And if you don't let your child out of that closet, they may very well hang themselves in it. So as much as you fear how the outside world will react and might hurt your kid, don't be the one to do it for them because of your fear. And focus on all the things you love about your child. I mean, you should have so many things that you love about your child, their special talents, their funny laugh, the way that they do things. Those things are still there. It's, you know, this is your child. What their genitalia looks like really shouldn't have a lot to do with anything in your relationship with your child. Come on. It'd be weird if that mattered so much. But focus on what it is you love about your kid and keep loving those things. And then learn to grieve the loss of the gendered child that you thought that you had. And I have had to grieve the loss of a son to some extent. I still have very clear memories of that rambunctious little boy and how he was. But while my little boy is gone, that person isn't. And that's, I'm overjoyed that though she's transformed, she's still here. Because that might not have been the case. That might not have been the case. And ultimately, know the stakes when you're approaching your transgender child. Know that the stakes are high. The stakes are high. It may be that you reject your child and they simply disappear from your life. They walk away. They find their own tribe. They find their own group of people who accepts them. They find moms like me to take your place. Or they decide that if their own parents can't love them, nobody can, and they take their own life. Either way, you lose your child. And that is that if you've rejected your child, then that's your failing. And I'm very sorry for you. I'm very sorry if, after what I've said, you still make that choice. Makes me sad. But some people will cling to hate and bigotry, even if it makes them lose the things they love. And that's a shame. And if you happen to be a transgender child listening to this, and your parents, one or both, haven't been able to accept who you are, that's their feeling. Know that. Because everybody, every single one of you, deserves to be loved. And whether or not you feel at home in the body you were born in or not, that doesn't change that. So know that as hard as it is, please don't give up. Reach out to communities who support you. Send me a message and go to my website. There are organizations to help you get out of abusive situations if that's the case. But parents, the most simple message that I have to offer you in all of this is really the most important and the most basic. Transgender or not, it's really irrelevant. Love your kid. Love your child. Just love them. And I'm not saying that going through the process isn't difficult, and that there won't be uncomfortable conversations, because there will be. I've had weird and uncomfortable conversations quite recently, actually. I attended a concert for the first time because I'm fully vaccinated. And a good friend of mine, her husband is the lead singer in a band called the Jank Tones, and they had a little reunion concert up in near my hometown. And at the concert, I ran into a parent from the school that my children attended, and I asked her how her boys were doing, of course, and she told me what was going on, and then she asked about my daughter and son. And I've gotten better about this. It's a little tricky. My second child was misgendered. She has chosen the name of Kara. So Megan is doing quite well, and so is Kara. She just recently moved, and everything is going very well. And, you know, there was a first, and to be perfectly honest, her reaction didn't give me a feeling either way of whether she accepted the fact that my child is transitioning or not. It wasn't necessarily a negative reaction. It wasn't a positive one either. It was just kind of a probably a slightly surprised, maybe. And before the move, I took pictures of my daughter and her girlfriend before they left, and I shared some of those on Facebook, and I had some friends make some comments, friends from a long time ago. We used to live in Costa Rica, also mentioned in the podcast, but the children did most of their growing up in Costa Rica, and so I've still got just a few friends from that time, and they're Costa Rican friends, and they saw the pictures and assumed they were pictures of my older daughter, Megan. And I had to kind of put an explanation in there that No, that's my second child, who you formerly knew as, and I'm not going to mention her dead name because she hates it, and I understand that. But I did have to mention it to these people who knew her by a different name, and occasionally I have to do that. I said, well, you know, you knew them as, but they're now Kira, and they're doing quite well. Thank you for asking. And it can sometimes be awkward. Luckily, I also surround myself with people who are very, very accepting of other human beings, be they LGBTQ or people of color or whatever. I try to surround myself with those kinds of people. So it may be more difficult if your life has a lot of bigots in it. That's true. You may have some conflicts. So you're going to have to play in your head what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, and I hope that at the top of the list is to fiercely defend your child. Defend them. You know, I am actually, one of my biggest fears is that I will be with my daughter somewhere and a bigot will approach her and say something offensive, because I will full on mama bear. I don't care if she's a grown up and she's like a foot taller than me, because I'm a mom, you know, don't hurt my kid, because it may get ugly. But yes, there will be uncomfortable conversations, perhaps. Reintroducing your child to people they've known their whole lives, but knew them by a different name and a different gender. And that may be uncomfortable. That's true. Be prepared for that. Be prepared to know what you're going to say and to make sure that your child feels supported in what you say. And if need be prepared to walk out of a situation and simply say, well, if my child's not welcome, then we are leaving, whether you're at grandma's house or visiting your sister or whatever it is. Be prepared to take that stand for your kid, because I guarantee that while it may be incredibly uncomfortable in the moment, your child seeing you stand up for them is going to mean the world. Knowing that even if they know you secretly hope that maybe they aren't really transgender and it's just a phase, knowing that you are willing to stand up for them and what they are feeling is going to make all the difference. And it may be what keeps them here. It may be the difference between them giving up the fight, giving up their struggle to fit into this world where they don't fit in, or them knowing that they're anchored here by someone who loves them very much. And sometimes when people are struggling with depression or feelings of inadequacy, whether it be this case or any other case, sometimes we don't love each other very much. We don't love ourselves. And having somebody else love us until we do, it matters. It might make all the difference. So do that. Just do that. Just keep loving them. And do your research. Research and research and research. Read books by transgender authors. Do your best to understand and listen to them. And when they tell you something, don't be like, well, that can't be right. Well, just listen. Just listen. And if you're listening to this program, I'm hoping it's because you want to understand them, because you really want to get this right. You're not going to get everything right. We're parents. We don't get it all right. But if you keep loving them, it'll still work out. It'll be fine. I hope that I have offered you some help in processing this and getting through this, you're not alone. There's lots and lots of parents who have transgender children who are trying to process this information. And I also want to say there are some people out there who they're of the opinion that all this LGBTQ stuff and all these transgender people, this is some weird fad. And why is there so much of it? How come there's so much more now? Well, there isn't. There isn't. Transgender people, LGBTQ people have existed as long as human beings have existed. And, you know, just the fact that they're incorporated into the Native American culture tells you something. But if you do some research, you'll find that, for example, in Roman times, the Roman soldiers often had male concubines that that accompanied them off to battle. It's existed. It's been there. But because of certain religious dogma, and they've been forced into the shadows, they've been forced into the closet, and forced to live a life that wasn't genuine to them for so long, for fear of being persecuted, arrested, murdered. And yeah, that violence continues to this day. There have been a lot of murders of transgender people in the last couple of years, and that's scary. But we are also at a time where the young people are more accepting of other human beings than ever before. And the reason you're seeing more people come out as LGBTQ is because they can. We're finally becoming a society that is accepting enough that people can come out of the shadows. So it's not that there are more, they're just more seen and accepted. And this next generation, I am so proud of them because they're fighting for the rights of people of color. The Black Lives Matter, why is it where it is? Because we have reached a point where the young people are tired of seeing this distortion of humanity. We're all human. The color of a skin is completely irrelevant as to your value as a human being, as is sexuality. And the young people of today get it. They get it. And they're fighting fiercely to make sure that their friends and the people they care about are being represented and are being allowed to exist and be themselves, and they're not constrained by societal judgments about what you should wear, or you know, you have to be like this or you have to be like that, and it's really wonderful, and I'm pretty excited about the future. I think that thanks to these young people, the world is becoming a more beautiful place and more accepting for everyone in it. And hopefully you listening will be allies. If you're not a member of the community, be an ally. You know, if you're a cis, heterosexual, straight man or woman, that's what you are, that's fine too. Just support your LGBTQ friends and family. And if your child is transgender, just keep loving them. Just keep loving them. It's pretty simple. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. And I hope you come away with a better understanding and acceptance. And I hope you'll share this with somebody else who might need to hear it. Thank you so much for listening. To help fund this content, please consider purchasing some of my original and unique artwork at esperanzapaints.com or send me a gift at buymeacoffee.com/ESP Phoenix. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast and to like and subscribe to the Esperanza Phoenix YouTube channel, where you can watch this podcast as well. You can also follow Unpacking Life's Crazy on Instagram and Facebook, or read further details about a particular episode at esperanzaphoenix.com. Last but not least, a special thanks to Chelsea Wilde, who composed and created the theme music for this podcast. You can find more of her music at minorbirds.bandcamp.com. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, take care of yourself and the ones you love.